The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen.
Daf Pebet. This daf is being studied in honor of Musa and Shela Gindi, Hashem Mishmirem V'Hayim, dedicated by Yossi, Hashem Mishmirem V'Hayehu, Teskul Mitzvot.
Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tenechenu B'Gan Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat, Nerfuah Shelema, Yosef ben Sarah, and Sarah bat Rachel. Enna Refana Lahem, Betok She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael, Amen. We begin today's daf on Pe Bet Amud Rishon, and we are 8 lines down. Gemara begins, Ahu Gabra. There was a certain fellow, the Naflale, Yibaba B'Matam Machsayah. So he fell to the mitzvah of Yibum in the city of Matam Machsayah. Be'a Achon Mefsele B'Kita Mene. So the brother wanted to give the Yivama a get in order to posel him from the other brother. Let's review the laws of Yibum for a second. Halakha says that the one that makes Yibum is Yoresh, inherits the deceased. With the lady comes an inheritance. With the Yivama comes the inheritance. So the other brother, the younger brother there, he didn't want his older brother, let's say, to make Yibum and take all the inheritance for himself. So he wants to posel the Yivama onto his brother. How does he posel that? By giving her a get. We learned in Masechet Yevamot that once the Yevamah was given a get by one of the brothers, automatically she becomes pasul to everybody. And what does he gain by that? Now already they split the deceased's property evenly. So this was what he wanted to do. So the Gemara says, Amar Leh. So the older brother tells him, "My da'atech, what are you thinking? Why do you want to do this? If it's cost of the money, you're trying to sabotage this situation here so you can get the money, the inheritance. I'm split the money with you." We had a similar story, if you remember, on yesterday's daf on the Amud Bed, a story that happened in Pompidita. And the same story. So he comes along and says, "Don't worry, if that's what you're worried about, the money, I'll give you a half." Amar Leh, so the younger brother tells him, "Mistafina da'avat li ke da'avid Pumpedita'a Ramma'a." I'm concerned that you're going to do to me like the trickster in Pumpedita did. Mm-hmm. We read the story on yesterday's daf where the brother told him, the story came to Pumpedita exactly like this. So the brother told him, "Listen, don't worry about it, I'll give you half." Then went to the rabbi of Yosef, and of Yosef said, "Means nothing. Make the Yibum, take the whole inheritance. You had no right to offer him half of the Yerusha. Just like the Avam doesn't have a right to sell it, even when he has it in his jurisdiction, doesn't have a right also to give it away. So therefore, he says, I'm worried. You're giving me half. I'm worried you're going to do to me what this guy, this crook in Pumpedita did. That he also made that deal, and the deal was nullified, and the brother ended up getting nothing." So the Gemara says, Amar Leh. So the older brother tells him, "Don't worry. Iba'it, if you want, pelog lach me'ashta," which means I'll give it to you from now. Which means make a kinyan now on the nechasim, on the assets, in order, on condition that you're making a kinyan now, that in the event that I make you boom and bring her, as my wife, you will be zocher on half of the nechasim, which means the brothers, actually, they were aware of the story of Pumpedita, on the other daf, and they were aware of Rav Yosef's ruling that the Kenyan is not a Kenyan. But they thought the Kenyan is not a Kenyan is because they made it before the Nechasim went into the Yibum's possession. So they would try to solve that by saying, make the Kenyan now, and it'll be hal on the condition that I make a Yibum. So it's like the Kenyan is like pending. And once I make the yibum, and the money goes into your possession, then the kinyan that I made now will be hal. They thought in Abu Yosef's case, everything was being done now. So you're saying they thought that you can't do it now because it didn't go into the yibum, Yavam's possession yet. So they figured they'll solve that by making the kinyan now. Al minat that when the Yavam gets married, now the money all goes into his possession. Now he has rights to it, and then it'll be transferred back to the younger brother that made the kinyan. That's what they were planning on doing to make the kinyan work. So comes Gemara and says, "Look, Meshi, plug mehashta. We'll split it from now. Hahazek mehalkecha meakshav." Which means it's not going to be given to you until I get married, until he makes yibum. Or shahlok leshechnos veiske bechulan zeche ata behalkecha al pi shehazaktich me'achshav. Which means you'll be zeche now by the kinyan that you made based on what happens later when I make the consummation. So that was the deal. Okay. So it's like I said, it's a kinyan that's pending. It's not working retroactively either. It's working, I'm making the maasek kinyan now, to be hal at a later time. They thought for some reason that would work. Again, they thought that Rabbi Yosef, the only reason why he said it was no good, is because they were doing everything now. Make the kinyan now, and they can't do it. But if they would make it aminat later, it would be okay. So the Gemara says, Amar mor baravashe afalga dechiata rav dimi amar rabbi yohanan. Ha'omer lachavero. Guy tells his friend, lech umshoch para zu. I told him, go, pull this para. Velo tiye kinuya lach ela lachar shiloshim yom. Right, go pull the para, but I don't want the kinyan to hal till after 30 days. So it's a similar situation. You have a delayed kinyan. Gemara says, lachar shiloshim yom kana. After 30 days, the kinyan is chal. Va'afidu omedet ba'agam. Even if, let's say, the cow is walking in the agam, in, let's say, the swamp area, where you cannot make a kinyan in the swamp, you cannot get to the swamp area, doesn't matter. After 30 days, the kinyan is chal. So you do see from this episode that what? A kinyan can be delayed. Gemara says, ha'tam biyado. The only reason why that works is because it's biyado. Because if he would want to make the kinyan immediately, he would be able to. Which means when the guy made the kinyan at that point on the cow. At that point when he made the kinyan, if he didn't want to delay it, he could have made the kinyan immediately. So any kinyan that can be made immediately, we don't care if you have the right to delay it. Because it could have been done on the spot. However, acha la biyado. But here it's lav biyado, because at the time that they made the kinyan, the money was not in the possession of the yavam. And since the money was not in the possession of the yavam, the kinyan is not going to work. So therefore the Gemara is really saying, this delayed kinyan is not an item, does not work. Because bottom line, at the time of this kinyan, was the younger brother able to seize the assets? No, nobody was able to seize the assets. They didn't fall into the yavam's yeshut yet. They only fall into the yavam's yeshut when they get married, he inherits. So therefore, what I want to say, this kinyan is not a kinyan at all. They have to assume over here as well. Well, actually, we'll read one more line in the Gemara, then we'll make the assumptions. Comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean? Veha ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, he said in the name of Rabbi Yohanan, lo kane, that in that same case of the para, where he makes a delayed kinyan, it's no kinyan, it doesn't work, so we have a stira. So the Gemara says, la kashya, ha de amar le kene me'akshav, which means it depends on what the statement was made when you made this delayed kinyan. There's one case where a guy says, kene me'akshav, which means where you're working it retroactively. I want to acquire it now, make the kinyan now, but I wanted to delay this kinyan not to be hal now till after 30 days. But after 30 days, what's happening? It's working retroactively, that the kinyan is happening now. That's one case. That case over there works. But in the case where he doesn't say kinyan, which in mamash, he just makes a kinyan, and he says, I don't want this kinyan to be chal till after 30 days, where he's not retroacting of it, he's putting it delayed, then already the kinyan is not a kinyan. So I guess the logic we have to say, what's intrinsically the difference here really? What's the difference between when a guy says kene ma'akshav, or he says kene lahashkoshim yom? Why is one good and one is not? So kene de'eh, when you're saying it's retroactively, the ma'aseh kinyan that you did is going to have halut at the time that you made the kinyan. It's just working retroactively. Retroactively, the kinyan happens at the time that you made the Meshicha. When the guy pulled the para, ultimately the kinyan is going to happen at that time. We're just delaying it for 30 days. Okay, so the Hadush of the Gemara, you could delay a kinyan, but when it's going to hit, it's hitting at the time that you pulled it. But the Gemara cannot accept, because it works retroactively, but the Gemara cannot accept that you do something now and it's not activated until after 30 days. At the time of 30 days, nothing happened. So what do you want to say? At 30 days, what you did then is going to be hal. Now, right now, you didn't do anything. So therefore, the Gemara wants to make a chiluk if it's retroactive or not retroactive. That's the Gemara's way of answering the stira in the case of the para. Comes the now the assumption of the Gemara over here in this whole story is that there was no she'abud on the nechasim, because if there's a she'abud on the nechasim for the ketubah, so then already even after he gets married, he can't do anything because he can't even sell these properties. So after some of it, we're going like the opinion that says that there's no she'abud on nechasim, on money for the ketubah. So that's why he was just saying, wait till we get married, and then you'll be able to, you know, make the make the kinyan now for after. But the Gemara said that doesn't work ultimately in this case, because since you can't make the kinyan now, so it's not going to work after. Because bottom line, by the cow case, when he makes the Meshicha on the cow, technically he could make the kinyan right now and finish it without the conditions. The kinyan could be hal. Mashiach, in the case of the nechasim of the yibum before marriage, you cannot make a kinyan on it because it's not his. So therefore, you want to say 30 days, or after I get married, don't want it to go retroactively, but it doesn't matter. Since right now you cannot make a kinyan gamur, so therefore you're not even allowed to make a stipulative kinyan. Comes the Gemara, continues. Ba'omine me'ula. Okay, they ask the question to Ula. Yibim, one of the brothers made yibum. Ve'achar kach chilek mahu. Okay, made yibum. The chasim come into his possession. Can he now divide it amongst the brothers? Gemara says, lo asa ve'lo kilum. You did nothing. Based on what we learned earlier, that what? They're frozen. They're going according to the opinion that's saying now the assets are frozen, so therefore you cannot give them away. So the Gemara asks another question. Chilek ve'achar kach yibim mahu. Let's say you divided the assets before the yibum. So the Gemara did nothing either. So the Gemara doesn't understand the line of questions over here. The Gemara asks, "Matkif la'rav sheshat hashta yibem v'alkach chelik lo asav v'lo kidum chelik v'alkach yibem mebaya." If you're telling me that he made the chiluk after he got married, when the possessions technically are by him, you're telling me it's nothing. Do you have to tell me that before they got the yibum that you can't divide them? It means it doesn't make sense. You don't have to tell me that. Once you tell me that even after they're married, they cannot give the assets to his brother. Well, the more so that before they got married, can they come to his brother? What is the Gemara giving you the two cases? The Gemara says, Shnei Ma'asim Avu. You're right. It was two stories. The Gemara is not giving it to you as a halakha per se. The Gemara is just relating over two stories that took place. And that's how it happened, where a guy came along and asked, you know, after I'm married, can I give my assets to my brother? And another guy came along and said, it was before I was married, can I give the assets to my brother? So the Gemara is just relaying the two stories. And that's not to be learned as a, you know, two cases. It's to be learned as two episodes that took place in the Beit Midrash. Therefore, the Gemara is relating the stories. Which means, the rabbi that asked the question on... can you split the property after Yibum, right? or he didn't hear the other case. If he would have heard the other case, he wouldn't have said his case. He thought his case was the only case that came to the Midrash. Mm-hmm. So he said it. And the other rabbi didn't hear the other one. So therefore he said his case. But once you know both cases, you only need one. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara says, Shnei Masim Mefu. Ki atar avin, amar ishtaki, ish ben yibem, v'akach halek, ben halek, v'akach yibem, lo asa ve'lo kelum. Vel keta, lo asa kelum. The bottom line, the halakha is that he did nothing, whether it's before or whether it's after, because like we're learning that there's a shabud on the properties, and therefore he cannot sell the properties, and therefore since he cannot sell the properties, he cannot give them away as well, even after marriage. So we learned in our Mishnah, going further, so let's review. According to the Hakamim, we said in the Mishnah, there's a mahalok between the Bimir and Hakamim. What's the mahalok? How do you look at metaltelin? So Rabbi Meir said the she'bud is on the metatlin as well. There's a lien on the movables as well. That means if a lady brings in, let's say, cash, Rabbi Meir's opinion was take the cash, sell it, buy karka. There's a lien on the land now for the ketubah, and the husband eats perot. The husband brings in perot, let's say. That's like cash. The perot may not attach to the ground. Sell the perot, buy karka, in the same situation. And Rabbi Hakim argued on that. Hakim said no. He brings in cash. The cash is his. He brings in movables. There's no lien on these movable items. It goes to the husband. Good, because the husband is really Yoresh, the brother, right? But the only hadush is they put a lien on the ketubah, on the properties. That's but not on metatani. But then the rabbis came along and said, but let's say there's a field with fruit on the field. So to that, the Hakamim came along and said, if there's a field with fruit, it belongs to the husband. Now we assume that the land doesn't belong to the husband. The land is a lien, obviously. But the fruit that are on the field are going to belong to the husband. He could take the perot. Okay, that was the shita of the Hakamim. So comes the Gemara and says, Amai. Why should that be? V'akol nechassin acharain v'arba'in nechtubata. What do you mean? All the assets are obligated for the ketubah, and these perot, they came in attached to the ground. And the Gemara is assuming over here as a given that perot mechubarim lekarka are considered like karka. And therefore, how could you tell me, Rabbi Meir, the husband could take the perot? What are you talking about? These are mortgaged already. There's a lien on these properties. Now, the Gemara is taking this as a clear assumption that the perot on the karka are considered like karka. Mm-hmm. Now, we really have to remind ourselves and ask a very strong question. That if you remember, we had another shita of Hakamim regarding perot that were mechubar the karka legabe the law of nechse milog. Where a lady, let's say, brings in properties to the marriage. So we said, let's say she brings in the money. Okay, everybody agrees, you take the money, sell it, buy a field. She holds the karka and he eats perot. That's the way nechse milog work. And then we had a shita of Hakamim, same rabbis, that they said by nechse milog, if let's say she brings in a field, and the field have perot on them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he holds that those perot are really belonging to the husband. And what's the logic? Because they said that perot, you go after the likita, you go after when you pluck them. Even though they grew in her domain, they grew by her before she got married, but it doesn't matter. Once she brings them in, or they grew, even when she was married, they grew by her, the point is, and now they fall to her. So now, the chitush is that since at the time of the plucking, they're by the husband, so therefore, even though they're attached to the ground now, they belong to the husband. So the Gemara was assuming that. So the Mefarshim may ask a question, so what's the she'ela over here? Just work with that logic. It goes after the plucking. And since it goes after the plucking, it's considered perot. What's the Gemara saying? What do you mean? But it's karka. Right, the karka is karka, but the perot on the karka is not considered karka. So what's the Gemara asking a question? Oh, it's mortgaged already. How could there be? How could Hakamim say ade elu she'lo? What do we have ade elu she'lo? Because the perot. And so they're attached to the ground. So what? Hakamim held in the last Mishnah, the perot are attached to the ground. That's still considered she'lo. Because Baruch, at the time when he picks them, they were in his domain. So why is the Gemara not assuming the simple fact that we established on the know, in the previous Mishnayot. That's the question. So let's see Rashi. Let's read Rashi. Rashi asked this question. Kol nechasav shel met achorayin leketubata. That's Rashi towards the bottom of the Amud. There's three lines before they get wide. Let's read Rashi. V'mechubal lekarka kekarka. That's the question. Anything's attached to the ground is considered like the ground. So how could you tell me the husband eats the pirot? Everything is mortgaged for the ketubah. Rashi's question. Velo damu lebechubarim denichsem milog. See Rashi's question? It's not similar to the case of mechubarim by nichsem milog. What do we say about the mechubarim of nichsem milog? Hare elu shelo. So why don't you assume that over here? That pira tiknu lerabbanan. Because over there, what's the law of nichsem milog? The husband eats perot. Hecha di ikar keren kayam. We have a principle. The husband eats perot. And therefore, when the perot are attached to the ground, they're considered peri. The gamre birshuta birshute, because they finish in his possession, meaning they're plucked in his possession, so with no problem. Abalacha karna upira didehu. In this case over here, really everything is the husband's. This is not a nechseh milog. This is a yirusha. Really, according to the strict law, the husband owns the field. And he also owns the perot. But what? The shi'buda u'di'it le'alayu. But the rabbis came along and put a shi'bud on the properties for the ketubah. Umay de'ishtabet la'mehayim de'ba'al lo amrinan pirahu le'afku'i shi'buda. Which means, whatever the shi'bud was on, it's not going to come off. Which means when the original husband was alive, there was a shi'bud on this karka. And not only on the karka, but whatever is mechubad to the karka is considered like karka. So when it comes to having a shi'bud on it, so the shi'bud was on it already. So therefore, yeah, what are you going to do? You inherited something that has a shi'bud on it. Because kula mechubad to the karka. But she'en ken, in the case over there of the nechseh milog, the rule is, husband gets perot, and she keeps the keren, and therefore this is considered a regular case. This is perot, yours, because you get them in your possession. In your possession, you plucked. When you pluck them, they're yours now. And therefore, there's no problem. I can hear you inherited items that inherently have a shabud on them from the beginning. So you want to split it now and eat the perot? You can eat the perot. It's called me'obal karka. It's considered a karka dami. So that's why the Gemara is asking, how do the Hachamim justify that the husband gets to eat these perot? So the Gemara answers, Amar Shakish, you're right. Tini shela. Change the Mishnah. Which means, instead of saying that the perot ashelo, say that the perot ashela, meaning there's a lien on those perot, and he can't touch the perot. You're right, he cannot touch the perot. What did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says, perot shelo. I said, what do you mean? But there's a lien on it. You're right, there is a lien on it. He can't touch the perot. Say, perot shela. Let's change it. Actually, the rabbis only argue on Rabbi Meir, Ela atilushim vekesafim. They only argue on monies. The machloket of Rabbi Meir and Hakamim now in the Mishnah is our metaltalin mishurbat for ketubah. But when the perot are attached to the ground, in machloket. Everybody agrees, perot mechubarim lekarka kekarka dami. And therefore, what the shabud is on the karka and the perot. Let's give it up further. Quote from the Mishnah. Kenasa harei ki ishto. What do we say in the Mishnah? Once the Yavam marries the Yavama, it's his wife. Wife for all practical purposes. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, "Lema hilcheta?" What do you mean? What's the hadush? You tell me when a person makes yibum, his wife is considered his wife for all practical purposes. What are these practical purposes that you're talking about? Amar bi Yosef bi Hanina lomar shemigrasha beget umachzira. That's a regular wife. That now, if you want to divorce her, you need a get. What's the point? Of course you need a get. No, it means you don't need a halitza anymore. Which means before you made your boom, the only way to get out of that item is what? Halitza. The hadush is, but once you make your boom, don't think that the halitza is still, in play. No, once you make a boom, now all you need to get out of it is what? A get. And what? You'll also be able to take her back. It's a regular marriage. What's the law? Person gets married, and then gets divorced. If he wants to take back that wife, he'll be able to. So the Gemara asks, "Begarsha beget, What are you talking about? That's not a douche. You tell me what, that it's a full marriage that he gets and gives a get? Peshita. That's also Pashut. Which means Chalitza was established to break a Yibum. But once they made a Yibum, of course the only way you can get out is a get. Why would I think that you would even need a Chalitza after the guy made Yibum? That's also Pashut. So what's the Hadush in the Mishnah? Yabara says, no, I wouldn't have thought such. Ma'udetema, I would have thought, V'yibema amar rahmana. Va'adain yibumin arishonim aleha lo teskela beget ela b'chalitza kamashmalan. Which means the Torah comes along and says, V'yibema. Right, he'll make yibum, it says, Yibama yavo aleha. Right, the Yibama will go with him. Ulkaha lo le'isha v'yibema. So it seems that from the way the pasuk is constructed, it's mashma that even if he has relations with him, with her, she's still called a yibama. So she's still called a yibama after marriage. You would have thought, now if you want to get out of it, you need a get plus a halitza. Kamashma'lan, that what? That no, that it's enough to get a get. Not enough, that's all you need, that's right. And that's all it is. Kansa, harikish, tole chodavar. Comes Gemara and says, Mahzira Pshita. And then you told me, and he can also remarry her. Isn't that Pashut also? What's the regular law of a guy who's married? On the contrary, it's a mitzvah to remarry his wife. So why would I think if a guy's married to a Yibama and then gets divorced, he cannot marry her back after time? So Gemara says, no, Ma'u detema mitzvah derama rahmana ale avda. Yeah, which means the mitzvah that was on him to do, he did. Which means yibum. Normally, he would not be able to marry this lady because she's eshet ach. Okay, eshet ach is a sumra Torah. But what? You made a yibum, so the yibum overrides the eshet ach. The hashda, but now that he got divorced, tikum ale biyisur eshet ach. I would have thought that the eshet ach is back in play, and therefore I would say you cannot take her back. Kamash malan, that you're allowed to take her back. You understand how it's working? Which means off the bat, this lady, before you did anything, she's eshet ach. The Torah is a chadush. You can make yibum, and I waive the eshet ach. Good, now they're married. I would have thought once you get divorced, now you cannot take her back now. Because now when you're taking her back, it's not a yibum situation anymore. So now you're just taking like a regular eshet ach. I would have thought that you cannot take her back. So comes Gemara and says, Ve'im ha'kenameh. Well, maybe that's true. Who told you that you can't take her back? Maybe they only waive the eshet ach for the yibum, but not more than that. Right? So and really, there's a double question in here. Maybe that you won't be able to take her back, and maybe when you divorce her, you need a halitza as well, because the yibum is still in play. So comes Gemara and says, "Amar kera ulkaha lo leisha." The language of the pasuk is ulkaha. He will take her, and she will be a wife. Now, what does that have to say? Just say ulkaha. What does that have to say? Ulkaha lo leisha. Once he takes her, she becomes a full-fledged wife, which means regular wife and all the laws. Get, and also he can take her back, which the Ishat Ach is now waived. So long as you made the Yibum, right, it's over. Good. So the quotes over here in the Tosafot, he says when the Gemara asked that question, the Gemara's question was, "Oh, what do you mean? I would have thought that maybe when they get divorced, he cannot go back because now it's Eshet Ach." So Tosafot, what did you have to ask at that stage? You could have asked even after the first Bi'ah. After the first Bi'ah of Yibum, there's no Yibum anymore. Now already, maybe you have to get divorced immediately because it's Eshet Ach. So Tosafot says, oh, that was no Havamina to say. Because you assume that when the Torah allows you to get married, they let you get married in the normal way of people getting married. That one be and then divorce. The question was, after, in the event that you leave, can you come back? But the Gemara didn't assume that the Torah was only limiting you to one bi'ah and then, you know, not. When the Torah says you take a ring, get married, you get married in a normal way. So that wasn't ever a havamina, according to the Tosafot, in the Gemara.
Is that how you take her by making a bi'ah?
Correct, but the Tosafot just asking that according to this line of reasoning of the Gemara, that the Eshet Ach is still in play, so after you did the mitzvah of Yibum, she should turn to Eshet Ach now. She should be able to get divorced immediately. Why did the Gemara wait to ask that if they got a divorce, you can't go back? Ask before that. Once they made the Yibum, he cannot be with her anymore, because bottom line, she turns back to an Eshet Ah. So Tosfot just says that they didn't go that far to ask the question, because they didn't. They assumed that when the Torah allowed you to make Yibum, they're allowing you to do it in a normal way where a person's allowed to stay married. The question of the Gemara was just when they got a divorce, can you go back? The Gemara is saying, indeed you can go back, because it's Kishto, Zechodavar. Comes the Gemara and continues. Okay, what's the case? Yibama, that makes Yibum. Okay? So what do we say over there? The Yibum, the Yavam that is not obligated to pick Ketubah from his own assets. Where's the Ketubah coming from? Exactly, Ketubah is coming from the deceased's brother's assets. Okay? That's what the Yavam is Yoresh. And they're all mortgaged, let's say, or leaned out for the Ketubah. So Gemara says, "My Tama, what's the reason why a Yavam doesn't have to pay Ketubah from his own money?" So the Gemara says, "Isha hiknu lo min haShamayim." What do you want? He didn't ask for this. The Shamayim, the law, put this lady on him now. That's going to cost him money. He's not obligated to pay. He didn't ask for this. This is Halakha says you have to take this lady as a Yavama. Now he has to stop putting money, shelling money out. So the Gemara says, no charge. You can rely on the assets of the deceased. Oh, but the Gemara says, V'ilet le'mirishon. But let's say the first brother did not have enough funds to pay for the Ketubah. Then the Gemara says, Eat la mishini. So the rabbis established the second guy has to, you know, put the money on the side for the Ketubah. Why? Gemara says, which means, because if the guy knows he doesn't have to pay anything, so then it's going to be easy for him to divorce. Which means you can't let them have no ketubah. So therefore, in that case over there, the rabbis institute that he has to put money of his own on the side in order to establish. That's one of the reasons why you make a ketubah. Okay. Only question is, why don't you ask the question the other way? Mm-hmm. It's also, the whole reason of the Ketubah is we don't want to make it easy for him to divorce. So I understand when, let's say, the original husband didn't have enough money, so we're telling him what, he has to pay it. And he has to pay, he's not going to divorce that fist. But why don't you say in the first case, it's also easy for him to get divorced, right? Because he's not paying anything. Right, the brother's paying everything. So the brother's paying anything. Oh, so that's the answer. Because he's enjoying this whole time, the perot. So since he's eating the perot, he's not going to, that's exactly what the Rishonim say. Since he's eating the perot, he has a benefit not to give it. Once he gives it, I can't eat perot anymore. That solved that the issue over there. Comes the Gemara and says, Lo yomar la hare ketubatech. So what do we learn in the Mishnah? That a Yavam cannot tell his wife, here's the Ketubah on the table, and then all the other fields sell. So no, you cannot do that. All the fields have a She'amud, and he cannot designate certain monies for her Ketubah. Gemara says, oh, and then what did the Mishnah say? Vechin. What is Vechin? And, right. Similarly, in ordinary marriage, a husband cannot do that. Husband should not do that. Put the money on the table and say, listen, this is your ketubah, and then sell the fields. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara asks, my bechin, why would I think that a regular marriage is worse? That the Mishnah has to go out of its way and say that you should know this doesn't only apply by Yibum and Yibama, Yavam and Yibama, but it also applies by regular marriage. For some reason, I would have thought that by regular marriage, this doesn't apply. That's what the Mishnah to go out of its way and say vichin. So the Gemara says, "My vichin. Why would I think it's any different?" So Gemara says, "I'll tell you, because there is an intrinsic difference between a yibum marriage and a regular marriage." Ma'udetem, I would have thought, hatam who over there by the yibum case, delo katav la diknai udekanena, which is over there, the yavam did not commit himself to his own monies. To the Yavama, he didn't say the Kanai Ukanena, I'm giving Makne money to you. So therefore, since nothing's coming from him, so we want to make it easy for the lady to get a Ketubah. So what do? We put a freeze on the properties. We're not going to even burden her that if he sells them, she has to go get them from the Likuhot. Because since he's not pledging anything towards the Ketubah, so we're concerned that what? We want to protect her a little more. Therefore, we said what? We put a freeze. However, right, as she says, The kanai, the lo katavla. Let's read the third line. The lo katavla ketuba hayabam de dechtoba nechasim. The kanai keva what I acquired already with the kanena shene atid leknot. Hilkach ika eva de lo samchad atas shelo yivdu amaot. Which means normally a husband writes in the ketubah whatever I acquire or whatever I'm going to acquire is pledged for your ketubah. So she's she has certain semichud da'at. She relies on she's going to get a ketubah here. He's not pledging anything. All it is this stuff here. Stuff that he buys is not pledged for the ketubah. Stuff that he has not pledged for the ketubah. So therefore, she's worried that I'm not going to get my ketubah. So therefore, to calm her down that she shouldn't have any eva strife. We put a freeze on the property. At least she has semichudat. Okay, the properties are not going anywhere. He's not going to sell them. Now, in the Kanam, if he were to sell them, she could also go to the likuhot and take them out. But we don't even want to do that. Because already she's nervous, so therefore we say put a freeze. However, by a regular marriage, the katavla, the kanai, the kanena, where he writes in the ketubah, that whatever I have and whatever I'm going to buy is pledged for your ketubah. I would have thought what? That she's so mechdat, and therefore you don't have to put a freeze on the properties. Kamash ma'ala, therefore the Mishnah comes along and says, still, even by a regular marriage, the guy shouldn't put monies on the table and sell properties. Now why shouldn't he do that? So he says, the reason is, because also, Eva. Because she's going to say, what do you mean, you're ready preparing all my money for the ketubah already? And you want to divorce me quickly like that? You're already preparing the money's on the side? So the Mishnah is really giving etzah when it comes to a regular marriage. Buy a case of a Yibum case, you have to do it. A case of Yibum, it's going to be problematic because she's at a disadvantage. So the Gemara says, you know what, you should do the same thing by a regular marriage. So why would I think differently? Because she's not saying, because over there he's saying the kane or the kanena. He's saying whatever I own and whatever I'm going to buy, it's pledged for the ketubah. So you might have thought, okay, she's sumech da'at, and therefore she doesn't care. She knows she's going to get paid the ketubah, and therefore she's really not worried because she has the assets are coming in. He pledged himself to the ketubah. So the Gemara says, you're right, but still don't do it. You know why? Because we're concerned. Once the guy puts the money on the side for the ketubah, it creates a little, eva amongst the husband and the wife.
Like a prenup?
It's more than that. The money's there on the table. That's the money. Mm-hmm. So then she's seeing the money every day of the 200 zoos. So it's like it doesn't cause good doesn't cause goodwill among Tatamikala. The Gemara further and quotes from the Mishnah. Gersha en la ela ketubata. Okay, what's the case? Yavam divorces the Yavama. Okay, so then already you give her the ketubah. Then already all properties become unfrozen, and he just has to pay her the 100 or 200 zoos, and that's it. So comes Gemara and says, Gersha'in. Again, only if you divorce her, then already the properties become unfrozen, and you pay her the ketubah. Lo Gersha, lo. But if you didn't divorce, you're not going to be able to sell the properties because there's a shi'abud. So the Gemara says, "Kamash ma'alan, kedir Rabbi Abba." That's supporting Rabbi Abba. What did Rabbi Abba say? Rabbi Abba said that if a person wants to, let's say, marry a yibama, and he wants to sell his brother's assets and stuff like that without his permission of his wife. So what do we say to Rabbi Abba said? The only way you do it is you got a divorce and then remarry. Because as long as you're married, the properties are locked. So you see clearly over here that's the Mishnah saying. Because the Mishnah said that before, once they're married, so then you cannot do anything. Once they're divorced, then he pays the ketubah and you can sell the properties. Mashma what? So long as they're married, you can't sell the properties. Exactly what Rabbi Abba said. Rabbi Abba said if he wants to unfreeze properties, the only item to do is what? Divorce. Unfreeze and then get remarried. So the Mishnah is a support to that opinion in how to unfreeze properties. Comes again, but I continue. Zihazira. Now let's say the Yavam remarried his Yavama. Right, we're just going in order of the Mishnah. These are all the cases of the Mishnah. Zihazira. So what does he do? So she's like all the regular ladies. Now we're talking about over here, we didn't pay the ketubah yet. So the deen is over here, ve'en la'ela ketubata. So then she only gets one ketubah. I mean, she just gets the ketubah.
I didn't get the payment.
The Avam made the Yibum. Okay, he got divorced. He didn't pay her a ketubah yet. He would not have to pay her a ketubah from his estate, but the estate of the original husband. He's the only one that's alive then, so he has to make a payment. But before he paid, he remarried her. So the law is when he remarries her, the old ketubah stays in place. Don't think now that he owes one ketubah from the first marriage, that is another pledge to another ketubah for the second marriage. It says no, everything goes back as nothing happened, and therefore the original ketubah is still in place. That was the deen of the Mishnah, right? So comes the Gemara and says, "Zehazira, ma'ika mashmalan," which means, what are you telling me over here? Which means, what do you tell me when a Yibama gets married and then he takes her back? We know that already. Tanina, we learned already in the Mishnah later on. Hamigaresh ita isha umazira al menat ketubata rishona machzira. Which means we know that. You didn't have to give me a case by Yibum. We have the case already by a regular marriage. Forget about Yibum case. Ish ve isha. They're married. He has hayav ketubah? Mm-hmm. Yes. They get the divorce. He's hayav ketubah? Yes. He didn't pay the ketubah. They got remarried. What's the law? Everything goes back to square one. He just she just pays the he just has to pay the original ketubah. So we know that law already. Why did the Mishnah have to give us a case of yavam to a yavama? Why would a yavam and a yavama be any different than a regular case of ish ve isha? So Gemara says, ma'u de tema ishto de iu katav la ketubah mineh. I said, yeah, maybe by a regular marriage, who's writing the ketubah? He's writing the ketubah. So therefore, if he's writing the ketubah, he could say, listen, I wrote the ketubah, and now that same ketubah is pledged in the second marriage. Exactly. However, yivimto, but yivimto de lo iu katav la hecha de gershav ba'adera ema ketubata mineh kamash ma'lan. Which means I would have thought by Yibum, the first ketubah is not coming from him. The first ketubah is coming from the estate. So I might have thought when you remarry, now the ketubah has got to come from him, because now it's his marriage. So I would have thought that there's got to be the two ketubot in play over here. Kamash malan, it's not so. We can still maintain the original ketubah from the original estate. Mm-hmm. But you understand why I would think it would be a little different? Because originally when the Yavam get married, where's the ketubah coming from? Not from him. It's coming from the estate. Good, so now they got divorced. Good. So that estate now has to pay ketubah.
Right.
Good. Now, it didn't pay it yet. He remarries her. I would have thought now once he remarries her from his own volition, I would have thought now he has to pledge a ketubah from himself. And therefore she might get two ketubot. She gets the ketubah from the first marriage, which wasn't coming from him. It's coming from the estate. And then that he's marrying her voluntarily again, that ketubah is coming from him. Kamash malan, it's like a regular marriage. And therefore there's only one ketubah, even in the case of a yibum.
Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda Barishona you could vim the ptula mataim ul almana maneh. Originally they used to just write in the ketubah, if she's a betula she gets 200, if she's almana she gets 100, and they used to designate that money, and there was no shi'bud nechasim, which means there was no liens on any of the properties. We put money aside and that was the money designated for the ketubah. However, what happened as a result of it, v'hayu maskinim, the girls became old, they became old ladies, v'lo hayu nosim nashim, and nobody was getting married, which means that she says, v'lo hayu nosim, she'lo hayu rotzot inasilem, because the girls didn't want to get married under such conditions. Why? Amru, d'kshiyamut o yigaresh, lo nimsar l'gvot klum. There's not going to be any money around. We're worried about the inheritors. They're going to take the money of the ketubah. They're going to hide it. They inherit it. They're going to say, we have no money for the ketubah. There's no ahliyut nechasim. You can't claim it from anywhere. We lost the envelope, and therefore they're not going to get ketubah. So it was refraining people from getting married. So what happened? Acheba, Shimon ben Shatach, v'tiken kol nechasin aharain nechtubata. Until he established Shimon ben Shatach, that all the property has a lien on it for the ketubah to be paid. So that became now back to the incentive to get married. So comes the Gemara and says, Tanya ne'me'achim ve'bright to support this. Berishona hayu kotvim liptula matayim ul almana maneh. Which means they would write 200 and 100 for almana. Vayu maskinim v'lo hayu nosim nashim. What happened? They were getting old and the people weren't getting married as a result of it, because the ladies did not trust that they were to get the ketubah because the yorshin are able to hide it. So comes the Gemara and says, "Hitkinu shiu mani'in ota bebet abiha." So they made a different takana. Said, "Okay, we gotta keep it away from the yorshin." So what they do? They kept it by her father's house, which means they put the money for the ketubah by the father's house. The adayin, but they still didn't like that idea. Why? Kishu ko'es aleha, when he's angry at his wife, Omer la lichi etzel ketubatech. Go next to your ketubah, which is, it was easy for him to divorce. Because the ketubah is paid up, basically. It's by the father's house. So he gets a little angry. He says, you know, go back to your father's house and go where your ketubah is. So that wasn't good either. So comes again what Ron says, it kinu shiyumani hibota bebet hamiha. So they brought him by his house, which means bebet hamiha, she came to by the father's house. That's where they used to live in the olden days. By the father's house, I mean he used to keep it by him. So what's the advantage of keeping it by him? So it says, Ashirot osot otak kelatot shel kesef v'shel zahab. And they had usage with the money. So they gave them advantage. We'll keep the ketubah money by the house where they're living, with hamiya. The rich ladies, they would take the monies, and they would buy, let's say, kelatot shel zahab. Those like baskets that they used to wear also like as hats and things like that, or put their wares in it, like we'll see in Ashi in a moment, and they would spend it on those things. Kalatot shel kesef shel zahab. Aniyot, and the poor ladies, hayu osot otan abid shel mimer aglayim. They would make it like a urinal out of it for the mer aglayim. So the fourth points out, what do you mean? If it's the same price in the ketubah, you know, so one's making something out of gold and one's making something cheap. So Tosfot says it was more of a, wasn't Abichel Medaglaim, like we're learning it. The Tosfot says Abichel Nehoshet, he has a Girsa, the bottom Tosfot. It was made out of actually copper. Shinotnin bo anavim. Okay, they put in it grapes and things like that. Umolichi lemasalta v'dugmatu v'perik ezu neshech. Fine. V'chendet el rabinu tam. In any event, that idea still wasn't good. Let's read that sheet for a second. Bebet hamiya, bebet ba'ala, ashirot. Oh, well, Ashirot, she says, that had a big ketubah, so that's why it was gold. Because they were able to, you know, use the monies for more expensive things. Kalatot, kimin sal, shemanihin al rosha. So compare that they put on their head. Venotot ba palchea, lahar shit balea palachtave, which means they put their weaving utensils in the in this basket they wear on their head. Abit the memer aglaim. So what was the benefit of doing that? The benefit of doing that was at least she gets usage out of it. So therefore they figured, you know, it's to her benefit. But at the end, that wasn't good as well. Why? Because she kva'adayin, because she kwa'es aleha. When he got angry. Omer la tli ketubatech v'tzei. Again, it's too local, the ketubah. It's still right there. Take your ketubah and get out. So even the advantage of having her hold on to it, which is at least there's no heirs anymore. The heirs don't have to, you shouldn't have to worry about the heirs trying to take it, because she's holding on to the ketubah itself. She was even allowed to use it. But still, it's next to her. So therefore the husband can say, take your ketubah and get out. It's too accessible for the husband to make a get. Acheba Shimon ben Shatach, until Shimon ben Shatach came along, betiken shekotev la kol nechasai acharain lechtubatam, which means until Shimon ben Shatach came along and said that the assets are going to be leaned for the ketubah. She says, "Velo yihed la ketubah b'metatelin." They stop putting money on the side for the ketubah in order to alleviate these problems. Hadran halacha isha.